Good morning and welcome to Atheist Talk on KTNF AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. Good morning to all of you joining us locally by radio and streaming online. We appreciate your tuning in. Today is Sunday, December 9th, 2018. I'm your host, Joseph Homrich. I'm here in the studio and via phone with Sarah Fry from the Secular Coalition for America. This is an open conversation, and we welcome and encourage listener interaction with your phone calls to 952-946-6205, your emails to radio@mnatheist.org, tweet us at Atheist Talk, or check out our Facebook page, Atheist Talk. The phone number is only available when we are live, but you can always email or tweet, whether we're live or when you're listening to the podcast. My guest this morning is Sarah Fry from the Secular Coalition for America. Sarah, good morning and welcome to Atheist Talk.
Good morning, and thank you for having me on.
Oh, my pleasure. To be here. So for our listeners, please tell us about the Secular Coalition for America. It is a coalition, correct?
Yes, so we are a coalition of 19 national member organizations, secular organizations. Some of them you may already have heard of, like American Humanist Association, American Atheists, and many others, the Unitarian Universalist Church, as well as many others you may not have heard of, like Black Men Believers, Ex-Muslims of North America, and many more. So we work to connect all of those organizations to each other and help them to work together on national programs like grassroots and fundraising.
So what are the benefits that member organizations derive from belonging to the coalition?
So really, the benefit that we offer to our member organizations is that connection. So our director of grassroots and community programs, Sarah Levin, actually organizes grassroots working group calls and communications working group calls weekly, so that the grassroots staffers at each of these 19 organizations, the communications staffers at each of these organizations, can get on a call once a week or twice a month and talk about their strategies, what communities they're working with, and how we can all work together to cast a bigger net and to work on as many issues as we can and include as many volunteers as we can.
So you are the grassroots coordinator of this organization.
Yes.
Would you like to tell us about some of the things that you are working on?
Absolutely. So I came to the Secular Coalition in April. What I do really consists of managing two of our three grassroots programs. So I'll go over those a bit later, but they are Secular America Votes, which is a voter registration grassroots program, Rapid Response, which is a citizen lobbying program, and the Party Organizing Program, which aims to organize secular caucuses in the parties. We are a nonpartisan organization, so we do work with every party. So what I do is manage the party organizing as well as Rapid Response. I used to work for a member of Congress and in some parties, so I have taken that experience and was able to write the toolkit for those programs and really get some go for 2019, and we have accomplished a great deal so far, and I'm very excited to move forward with those. I also am kind of the go-between of our grassroots team. So our grassroots team consists of three people: Sarah Levin, the director of grassroots and community programs; Mark Dan, who is our director of governmental affairs, our lobbyist; and me. So I'm kind of the go-between that takes the grassroots to the grass tops, or so to speak, and get the stories of volunteers on the ground and free thinkers, and bring those to the Hill and identify bills and issues that we can tangibly lobby on and take action on the Hill.
Well, actually, would you give us a little intro to the two that you're working on right now? Like the Rapid Response?
Oh, yes, absolutely. So coming into 2019, some of our accomplishments in 2018, I will maybe start with. For the party organizing program, we established the first ever, or we didn't establish, but we aided party members who were free thinkers to establish a secular caucus in the Texas Democratic Party. So that was a huge win. That was in 2016. So it was at a very politically charged time, and of course we still are in a very politically charged time. But you know, the room was absolutely full. There were 200-300 people in attendance, and we really had a great start off. So when we went back to Texas this year for the 2018 Texas Democratic Convention, we had another really fantastic caucus, and the big change, the noticeable change this year, was that we had maybe four or five candidates scheduled to speak, but afterwards we had maybe another four or five candidates come in and want to address our constituency, because they could see that the room was overflowing. People were very interested. And at one point, I actually asked the audience, could you please raise your hand if you're a person of faith? And about half the room raised their hand. So that was a huge accomplishment for us and for the officers of that caucus, to have our issues really not just be our issues, but be issues of religious freedom and just be inclusive of non-theists.
Wow, congratulations.
We also actually historically established the first secular caucus in a national party this year in the Libertarian Party. So we were down in New Orleans for their convention this summer, and we established the first ever secular caucus along with our chair, who is former state representative Brandon Finney from New Hampshire. He won his race as a Republican originally, but actually changed his party affiliation to Libertarian, and he is known as the first atheist Republican state legislator in the country. So he is our awesome chair, and we have a really great set of officers leading that as well. So you can always contact me or contact Representative Finney and the Libertarian Party if you want to get involved with those caucuses. And that is some of the great accomplishments we've done with party organizing this year. Next year, we are just looking to continue that trend, keep working in the party. So if anyone is interested in that, you can always go to our website at secular.org, go to our Action Center, and the signups for all the programs I'm going to be talking about today are in there, and more information about those. So the Rapid Response Network, just quickly on that, is really our way to get constituents in each congressional district to have their voices heard as atheists, humanists, and free thinkers. So we developed five rapid actions that you can take, the most important one being taking meetings with your member of Congress's district staff. So having worked in a district office and in a D.C. office for a member of Congress, I know that there are certain ways where you can really make your voice heard and get your member of Congress on the record on an issue and to take action on that issue. So taking a meeting with your district office staffers or your D.C. staffers, if you're in the area, really gives us the clout we need to lobby on the Hill. So if our lobbyist, Mark, goes up to the Hill and says to your member of Congress, you should really vote to support the Do No Harm Act because it, you know, doesn't allow for religious freedom to encroach on discrimination. So, you know, things like the Baker case, where if your religious freedom is taking away rights from other people, then that's doing harm. So if Mark goes and asks the member of Congress to vote for that bill, that member of Congress is going to say, okay, but do my constituents care about it? What about people in my district? What are they saying? So then Mark would be able to say, well, actually, yeah, I know that a few of my volunteers or a few members of the local humanist or atheist group went and met with your district office staffers. They called your office 10 times last week, and they went to your town hall. So that's really where we get our power, is from you guys out there on the ground.
So I note that not only does the coalition represent 19 major organizations, but it also is an umbrella group for local organizations. Is that correct?
Yeah, so that's actually where it gets a little confusing, but I'll try to just make it.
Well, actually, I was thinking, suppose we have a local organization, you just sort of start one up. How does one join the secular coalition? Is there some sort of vetting process?
So, as a coalition, we actually don't have local chapters of the Secular Coalition for America. What we do is, if you are a member of a local group that's maybe affiliated with American Humanist Association, American Atheists, or the Unitarians, any of the national organizations, or you're just your own local group that you just kind of started up and you're your own thing, you can still plug into our programs with that group. So that's really what the programs are about, is giving local groups the ability to have the infrastructure to engage in citizen lobbying with rapid response, to register voters, and to organize within the parties that they are members of. And additionally, we do definitely encourage, local groups to take that infrastructure and use it for other issues and use it for, whatever they feel is most important in their area, because we are based in D.C. We can't know the local issues or the terrain of every district in the country, so we definitely rely on those local groups to bring that local knowledge to our program. So that's kind of how that plays out.
Well, thank you. That'll be our first segment, so please stay with us through the break. And we will return to Atheist Talk with Sarah Fry, talking about the Secular Coalition for America. I'm Joseph Harmich, and you're listening to AM 950 KTNF, the progressive voice of Minnesota.
Native Earth Radio is proud to announce we're adding an extra hour.
1 hour's too fast.
That's right, Uncle Curtis.
Great. More time for me to share important information about our sacred animals.
And report national Native news with reporters all around the country, Saturdays from 1 to 3 p.m.
We are awake.
Find us on iTunes, SoundCloud, and streaming live on Facebook.
Warning, stand-up records may cause intestinal distress, fits of insane laughter, instant diarrhea, existential malaise, headaches, nausea, dizziness, vomiting, seasonal affective disorder, more headaches, pneumomono ultramicroscopic silicovolcanoconiosis. Stand-up records should not be handled by women who are pregnant, may become pregnant, have ever been pregnant, or personally know anyone who has been pregnant. Do not consult your doctor if he's operating heavy machinery. Stand-up records is for external application only. And stand-up records is, of course, good for a few laughs. So remember that standuprecords.com for the world's finest comedy CDs, DVDs, and merchandise. That's standuprecords.com. The revolution will be hilarious.
Hi, everybody. This is Paul Mensa inviting you to listen to a fabulous new episode on the Wall of Power Radio Hour this weekend. We feature songwriter Dan Israel, who's just returned from a 5-week tour of Germany. Hear about his tales from the road. We're going to listen to some new songs off his record, You Are Free, as well. Saturday night at 6 p.m., replayed Sunday at 4 p.m. on AM 950, and follow me at paulmensa.com.
Hi, my name is Mickey McCabe, and I'm the owner of Cucumbers Restaurant at 75th and Francine Dina. If you've never been to Cucumbers, it's a buffet-style restaurant with a huge variety of salads, homemade soups, bakery items, and hot entrees that change daily and nightly, plus our always fresh fruit and delicious ice cream. We're open for lunch and dinner, but Sunday brunch is my favorite time at Cucumbers, with scrambled eggs, waffles, French toast, bacon, sausage, baked ham, chicken fajitas, brunch potatoes, warm gooey cinnamon rolls, and many other items to choose from, it's no wonder why Cucumbers has always been a popular Sunday destination. So whether you're looking to skip Mass, someplace to go after Mass, or just great food to maintain your Mass, Cucumbers is the answer to your prayers. Bring in your church bulletin or Minnesota Atheist newsletter and receive a $2 discount off the buffet price. Cucumbers, one heavenly buffet at 75th and France in Edina.
Don't believe in God? Join the club. Humanists, atheists, and freethinkers have joined the American Humanist Association since 1941 to advocate for progressive values and equality for non-theists in America. Located in Washington, D.C., the American Humanist Association lobbies Congress on humanist issues, protects the rights of atheists in the courts, and supports more than 140 local chapters. Visit us at AmericanHumanist.org or find us on Facebook and Twitter to learn how you can join the club today.
Welcome back to AM 950 KTNF, the progressive voice of Minnesota. You're tuned in to Atheist Talk. I'm your host, Joseph Homrich, and I'm talking this morning to Sarah Fry of the Secular Coalition for America. Atheist Talk is produced with funding from Minnesota Atheist and Cucumbers Restaurant of Edina, Minnesota. Please consider visiting our sponsors, and if you do, let them know that you appreciate their support of Atheist Talk. If you would like to advertise on this program and help keep us on the air, please contact us at radio@mnatheist.org. As for the here and now, if you'd like to get involved in the conversation with Sarah and myself, you can call us at 952-946-6205. Email us at radio@mnatheist.org or tweet us at Atheist Talk using Facebook. Before we get back, however, I want to remind everyone listening live that immediately following this program, you can listen to American Atheist Viewpoint, an official production from American Atheist. Please note, you can always catch American Atheist Viewpoint by subscribing to the podcast version in iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, or the podcast player of your choice. In the first part of our program this morning, we talked about the Secular Coalition for America and its structure and what it's working on. And in this next segment, I'd like to talk a little bit more, Sarah, about what you do, because you have a rather impressive title, Grassroots Coordinator. I've had a life in science and advocated in what ways I can for evidence and reason, but you've gone a step farther. May I ask, is it your full-time job, and what's the day like for a grassroots coordinator?
Yes, it is. I'm thankful it is my full-time job and that I can work day in and day out on issues of science and reason and on behalf of the secular community. So the typical day for the grassroots coordinator, day-to-day is a little bit unexpected sometimes. There are definitely, you know, sort of issues that are coming down from the Hill that we really want to react to and, you know, either support or oppose and make sure that our members and supporters are aware of those issues and that they have all the information they need to engage on those issues. So I do a lot of the scheduling for our travel. So if, you know, we were in Minnesota actually in August, and we met with multiple groups out there. We were actually also at the Secular Women Work Conference in Minneapolis. So it was really fantastic to meet all the volunteers out there. We were in Texas this year. We were in Louisiana, New Hampshire, and of course around the D.C. area in Maryland and Virginia as well. So I tend to coordinate a lot of that travel. Having been a scheduler for a member of Congress, it definitely gets a little crazy. But just sort of keeping everyone on the same page. Our staff is really fantastic, and we're all going in a million different directions or eight different directions. That's how many staffers we do have in our D.C. office. So really, it comes down to the management of those grassroots programs that I talked about. If you join the Secular America Votes program, you may also get me as your state expert. I train local voter registrars in the registration rules in their state and county to make sure they're complying with all of those laws as they are different state by state and sometimes even county by county. So it's really just the day-to-day managing those programs and making sure that everyone has the resources they need to get them done.
What inspires someone to become a grassroots coordinator? What was like the extra impetus for that level of commitment?
Well, you know, I really personally love outreach and community organizing because it really is getting on the ground and meeting with people and seeing which issues are really affecting them in their communities. Certain issues that we work on, like religious healthcare exemptions, vaccine exemptions, and child abuse and neglect laws, those can have really, really tangible impacts on people's lives. So it's really about bringing those stories and elevating them so that they can be heard on the Hill, in their local government, in their local communities, and helping people to elevate their voice, empowering people to get out there and connect with other individuals. I know in the secular community, oftentimes people feel isolated. They feel like they're the only one. I can definitely tell you from working as the grassroots coordinator for the Secular Coalition for the last 8 months that there are many, many inspiring and passionate free thinkers out there who are doing a lot of great work.
If I had your job and I showed up for the first day of work, I would not know where to begin. Did you have a mentor or someone who helped you along the way?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm really lucky to have such a wonderful staff supporting me and you know, showing me the ropes. Because I, you know, growing up, I didn't even know necessarily that there was a secular community to join, as many people may not. So when I came in, it was a brand new position. I was very lucky to come into the grassroots program with our director of grassroots and community programs, Sarah Levin. So she has been with the Secular Coalition for 5 years, ever since, you know, right out of college, and she has put in hours and hours, millions of hours of work developing these programs. So we kind of brainstormed these three grassroots programs that I've been talking about together and got the show on the road.
What am I trying to get at? The driving force for someone who's a grassroots coordinator for a secular organization, for example, are you driven mostly by a desire to end injustice where you see it? Are you driven by the hope of a better tomorrow?
You know, that's a really good question, and I think it can be best answered by the secular values that Secular Coalition has outlined due to our model secular policy guide, which, if you're interested to see, definitely shoot me an email at frey@secular.org, and I can send you a hard copy or the PDF version. I don't think it's up on our website yet, but it will be hopefully before the end of the year. So those four secular values that we outlined are really about changing the culture and including non-theists. So those values are freedom, inclusion, equality, and knowledge. And we chose those values because we want people to understand that you don't have to be an atheist or an agnostic or a non-theist to have secular values. We really have a narrow focus in terms of the issues that we take a position on and lobby on that really only deal with separation of church and state and inclusion of non-theists at the political table. So in order to get those laws passed, we do need to change the culture. So, you know, change comes from the ground up, and that's really where grassroots comes in as a really, really important factor when we're taking those issues to members of Congress, because members of Congress are not going to come out and say, I'm an atheist or I'm a secular person if they think that their constituents are not on board with that or don't understand or are resentful of that. So we actually a really fantastic example of a way that we can change the culture and the, you know, laws on the Hill at the same time is the Congressional Freethought Caucus.
Yeah, I'm so sorry. I'm going to have to cut you off there. We will return with our guest, Sarah Frey, after the break. Please stay with us. I'm Joseph Armitage. You're listening to Atheist Talk.
I'm Connie Burek, co-host of Awakened Living Infusion radio show. Join Michelle Kitzmiller and I as we focus on all aspects of health, wellness, spirituality, and growth from a mind, body, spirit, emotion perspective. Let's talk about self-love. Do you possess it? Join us next week as we explore what it means to love yourself and how to put that emotion into action for positive change in your life. Join us for the Awakened Living Infusion radio show, Saturdays at 10 a.m. Let us share with you ways to infuse vitality into life.
I'm Richard R.J. Eskow, and this week on The Zero Hour, Senator Jeff Merkley talks about his new drug bill and more. Ryan Grimm discusses his new scoop about House Democrats. Also, we talk about war in Yemen, Social Security cuts, and Bowser. All this and more on The Zero Hour, every Sunday night from 9 till midnight on AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota.
This is New Beginnings, hosted by award-winning broadcaster and speaker Freddie Bell.
Freddie, this generation of the baby boomers, people are living longer, so the baby boomers are taking care of elderly parents.
Let's talk about your health, and specifically, let's talk about Medicare. Our show features the concerns of America's 78 million baby boomers in employment, finance, health and nutrition, and even entertainment.
Catch New Beginnings with Freddie Bell, Saturdays at 11 on AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota.
Atheists, secular humanists, and free thinkers, here you are listening to the Minnesota Atheists Talk Radio Show, Atheist Talk. We hope you are enjoying it. If having a frankly atheist perspective on the radio waves appeals to you, please consider making a contribution to our radio fund. Our contract came up for renewal, and we need your help if you want the program to stay on the air. That will make sure that you can continue to have opportunities to hear interesting speakers with non-religious perspectives, and you can call up and ask them questions too. Get the details on our website at minnesotaatheists.org, where you will find buttons to make it easy to make a secure donation through PayPal. Or, if you have a business and would like to reach an intelligent, progressive audience, please contact us through our website. That's minnesotaatheists.org. Or call us at 612-588-7031. If you are interested in us, we are interested in you.
Don't believe in God? Join the club. Humanists, atheists, and freethinkers have joined the American Humanist Association since 1941 to advocate for progressive values and equality for non-theists in America. Located in Washington, D.C., the American Humanist Association lobbies Congress on humanist issues, protects the rights of atheists in the courts, and supports more than 140 local chapters. Visit us at AmericanHumanist.org or find us on Facebook and Twitter to learn how you can join the club today.
With your AM 950 weather, I'm Sam Turnberg. Today will be sunny with a high near 26. Tonight's partly cloudy with a low around 14. Tomorrow mostly sunny with a high near 28. Tuesday mostly sunny with a high near 27. And Wednesday mostly cloudy with a high near 29. Shop local with one of the AM 950 advertisers for the holidays. It's a great way to not only support AM 950, but also local businesses and shops. Visit Electric Fetus or Common Good Books or see a full list of advertisers at am950radio.com.
Good morning, and thank you for tuning into Atheist Talk on AM 950, KTNF. I'm your host, Joseph Homrich, and I'm chatting this morning with Sarah Fry of the Secular Coalition for America. If you'd like to get involved in the conversation with Sarah this morning, you can call us at 952-946-6205 or email us at radio@mnatheist.org. Tweet us at Atheist Talk or via Facebook. Before we continue with this conversation, there's a bit of housekeeping I need to attend to. Atheist Talk is produced with funding from Minnesota Atheists and Cucumbers Restaurant in Edina, Minnesota. Please consider visiting our sponsors, and if you do, let them know that you appreciate their support of Atheist Talk. If you would like to advertise on this program and help keep us on the air, please contact us at radio@mnatheist.org. I want to note our group of dedicated volunteers and the generous donations of you, our listeners. You keep Atheist Talk on the air and in podcast. Minnesota Atheist is a 501c3 tax-deductible organization. We could not do this show without you, and we deeply appreciate your support. Music for Atheist Talk is by composer and member Brent Michael Davis and is used with permission. Please note that all opinions are of the guest and host only, and do not necessarily reflect the Minnesota Atheist Organization. As always, check out the Minnesota Atheist website for podcasts of previous programs. You can browse articles, book reviews, and peruse the calendar of upcoming events. You can also sign up for the Atheist Weekly email, which will give you links to upcoming events. We always have a ton of activities going on all around the Twin Cities and the outlying suburbs. If you enjoy this show and all that Minnesota Atheist has to offer, consider becoming a member of Minnesota Atheist while you're on our website. Membership has some great perks. Check out how on the website. Now, with all of that relevant and, I think, very useful information out of the way, let's get back to our conversation with Sarah Fry. And, Sarah, I'm so sorry I kind of cut you short on the previous segment. It was a fairly short segment. If it helps, there is about 11 minutes remaining in this segment.
Great.
So I'm curious about your upbringing and what you would want to share, because I've been a member of Minnesota Atheists for something approaching 3 decades, and my icebreaker question to new members is always, how did you figure it out? So, Sarah, how did you figure it out?
Well, you know, I had kind of a unique experience in that I grew up in a family where my parents and my grandparents, actually, as well, were all atheists, agnostics, and however they personally choose to identify. So I never went to church, never went to mosque, or anything like that. I do have come from a fairly diverse family, however. So my mother's side of the family is Muslim, and my father's side is actually Mennonite. So for those of you who don't know, that is kind of the original sort of, how do I explain it? The Amish, you may have heard of. The Amish are actually an offshoot of Mennonites. So my father's family, they're based in Canada. So I kind of had a real mix of religions, of philosophies, of ethnicities. And I think that also informed my perception of, you know, what makes one religion more true than another, or, you know, what makes one way of life better than another. So I was raised with respect to religious plurality, religious freedom, and actually taking a note from the Freedom From Religion Foundation's book, my grandmother, when she came to this country, from the Middle East, did say she felt not the freedom of religion, but the freedom from religion. So that's, I take my inspiration directly from my roots.
Do you think that your upbringing inspired you to learn more or less about religion than your religious friends?
Well, I don't know if I, you know, necessarily can compare my knowledge to others, but I do know that I do have a great interest in religion. I have studied the Bible and the Quran. I have gone to religious services in definitely a few different Christian sectors. I do have of friends who graciously educated me about Judaism, and of course I do get a little bit of that education from my religious family members themselves. So I was really lucky to have a good overview and an understanding of what makes people believe what they believe and what informs their values.
From what you've learned about religion, and I think you're probably a lot younger than myself, and what you've seen of the world so far, are you a hopeful person? What do you see going forward as far as religion and science? And I know that's a pretty big question, but maybe you've come to think about it in the course of your job and your position as a coordinator.
Absolutely. And that is a big question, but, I definitely am an eternal optimist. You know, I've worked in the political realm for a few years, and I really just have to keep holding on to that hopefulness and optimism for the future, because, you know, what we're doing today will translate down to what the world that we leave for our children. So I've seen, you know, even in my own family, coming from my grandmother, who was born in 1944, and the life that she lived and the life that my mother lived, and now me, that they had never been able to come out as atheists before my generation. So that is a huge, huge change, and I know that they are very proud and astounded that we're able to come out into the light. As far as what I'm seeing for the future, statistically, according to the Public Religion Research Institute, currently about 25% of Americans are unaffiliated with religion. So that covers everyone from atheists all the way to, I believe in God, but I don't go to church, or I don't want to be affiliated with an institution. So that number, as far as people from 18 to 29, is actually up around 40%. So as we go on, we are going to see that number rise, and we're going to see secularism take kind of precedent in the way that we talk about our values.
Why don't I see that now? I mean, that's a huge number, and I've also heard that quoted before, and I had no idea that in the 18 to 29 it was that high. Or are we? Or are we seeing that? I mean, if we have a vice president who's a fundamentalist Christian.
Yeah, for my work in the field, I definitely do see, you know, really active communities. I think that, honestly, these things definitely are geographically specific in a lot of ways. Meaning, there may be, for example, more people unaffiliated with religion in certain states, so like New Hampshire and Vermont have a very high, over the national average, around 30% of unaffiliated individuals. However, if you go down to, you know, somewhere in the Bible Belt, then there may be just as many people who are unaffiliated with religion, but they may not be able to come out and say that for fear of discrimination, losing their jobs. So I also think that religion has become, like politics, somewhat of a taboo subject to talk about. People tend to avoid it, and that's really what the job of a grassroots coordinator is, and what we're trying to do at the Secular Coalition for America is get people to feel safe in their community and have a community where they have a support system and they're able to talk about these difficult issues and have a level-headed debate or conversation about, frankly, what they believe.
Returning to talk about your position as a grassroots coordinator and all the people you've met, have you been either motivated or inspired by people who have been, say, harmed by religion or the laws concerning religion?
Well, unfortunately, there are certainly many individuals who have been harmed by policies that generally elevate one religion over another or elevate religion over non-religion in our government. So we, you know, issues like medical exemptions. I remember specifically one case that really struck me that Congresswoman Bonnie Watson Coleman, who is a person of faith, was actually talking about on the Hill. So that would be the Tamisha Means case from Michigan. So Tamisha Means, and of course, you can find more information about this online, but she went into the doctor and she actually needed a life-saving medical procedure that would have required a medical abortion. However, she was not given that opportunity. The doctor cited their religious preference or the hospital's religious affiliation and did not treat her until she was in very, very much more danger. And they ended up giving her the procedure, and she did end up, thankfully, surviving that situation. But that is, you know, a really good example of one of the biggest debates in our country right now, which is healthcare and how religious laws can affect people's lives.
Wow. What do you think all grassroots coordinators have in common?
Well, that's a good question, but I would hope, and I do know from all of the grassroots staffers that I've met from all of our member organizations that we really do have, first of all, a passion for getting out there on the ground in the communities and talking to people, hearing their stories. And what that in turn does for us is gives us a perspective. So I talk a lot about perspective, and that really is the most important thing for grassroots is to get as many people's perspectives as possible and weave a narrative and get the voices from the margins and the margins of the margins to the center to be heard by the general population. So that's really what I would say is the mobilizing and motivating factor of grassroots staff, is to really help to empower people out there in their communities to speak up.
Yeah, you know, from other guests and people I've encountered over the years, I want to emphasize the power of stories and the power of stories to inform and persuade people. It can just be so important and so influential, not just to hear statistics, but to hear the individual case histories of people and what they faced and what they've gone through. Sir, it's been wonderful talking to you in this segment. In the next segment, I'd like to maybe deviate from some of the things we've been talking here and talk about your secondary major. You majored both in English and?
Women's, gender, and sexuality studies.
And I have some interesting questions about that. And we will return with our guest after this brief message.
Did you realize that Drink in the Style is available on iTunes, Google Play, and pretty much every other podcast platform out there? You can listen to past episodes of Drink in the Style, or maybe download our really cool martini glass graphic, or just listen to your favorite episode again and again. But if you do, I need to ask you for a quick favor. Hop online and give us a 5-star rating. It helps others find the show and also boosts my fragile ego. Drink in the Style. It's a great way to kill Sundays, or really, anytime at all.
This is New Beginnings, hosted by award-winning broadcaster and speaker Freddie Bell.
Freddie, this generation of the baby boomers, people are living longer, so the baby boomers are taking care of elderly parents.
Let's talk about your health, and specifically, let's talk about Medicare. Our show features the concerns of America's 78 million baby boomers in employment, finance, health and nutrition, and even entertainment.
Catch New Beginnings with Freddie Bell, Saturdays at 11 on AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota.
Hi, my name is Mickey McCabe. I'm the owner of Cucumbers Restaurant at 75th and France in Edina. Many who have dined at Cucumbers are of the opinion that our buffet has evolved from an older, more country-style buffet. They look at our 50-foot salad bar and can imagine a smaller ancestor with far fewer choices. An ancestor that didn't offer as many hot selections or have a bakery with fresh baked muffins and breads. Didn't offer homemade soups and lacked the fresh fruit and ice cream bar that Cucumbers customers have grown to love. But some will say, where are the transitional buffets? In addition, they look at everything that we offer and say that Cucumbers is irreducibly complex. If you were to move just one of our offerings, the entire buffet wouldn't function. Well, I would like to think that Cucumbers was intelligently designed, since I helped design it. But at the same time, it truly is an evolutionary step up the buffet ladder. And as always, if you bring in your atheist newsletter or church bulletin, you will receive a $2 discount off the buffet price. Cucumbers, one heavenly buffet at 75th and France in Edina.
I've never met another atheist.
Sure you have. Non-believers make up 12% of the population.
Then where are they?
You can meet us at book clubs, pub crawls, discussion groups, movie nights, monthly meetings.
Okay, I get it. How am I going to keep track of all this?
Easy. Sign up for Minnesota Atheist Meetup Group and subscribe to AWE.
What's a meetup group?
Meetup is an online networking site that helps people build communities. We have over 700 members with at least two events every week.
And what is AWE?
It stands for Atheist Weekly Email. It comes out every Friday and lists everything that's going on.
How do I sign up?
Go to the Minnesota Atheists website, minnesotaatheists.org. On the left, click on the words Get Awe-Inspired.
And for the meetup?
Look for the red meetup badge on the right. Above it are the words, click here to check out the meetup group.
I'm sold. Minnesota Atheists, Meetup, and AWE. What's that website again?
MinnesotaAtheists.org.
Welcome back to AM 950 KTNF, the progressive voice of Minnesota. You're tuned in to Atheist Talk. I'm your host, Joseph Armitage. I am in the studio this morning talking to Sarah Fry from the Secular Coalition for America. This is our final segment with Sarah. If you're curious about Minnesota Atheists, you can check out the Minnesota Atheists website. We have previous episodes, you can browse articles, book reviews, and peruse the calendar of upcoming events. You can also sign up for the Atheist Weekly email, which will give you links to upcoming events. We always have a ton of activities going on all around the Twin Cities and in the outlying suburbs. This weekend, we are having our winter solstice party, where we have our guest, David Gamet, performing. If you enjoy this show and all that Minnesota Atheists has to offer, Consider becoming a member of Minnesota Atheists while you're on the website. Membership has some great perks. Check out how on our website. And now back to our conversation with Sarah. And Sarah, as I said in our previous segment, I'll give you a little guide. We have about 8 minutes remaining in this segment. And Sarah, you had 2 degrees in college, English and?
Women's Gender and Sexuality Studies. It's a mouthful.
Indeed. And I actually have more than the average person's on the streets a knowledge of this subject. And for our listeners, permit me a bit of background. Years ago, I read a book called Living in Our Genes, and there was a pun on the word genes. And there was a case in there of a woman who was an Olympic sprinter who failed a gender test, much to her surprise and that of her parents. And all of her her cells were screaming XY, XY, XY. And what they finally determined happened was that in utero, hormone receptor sites that should have been getting the message to make this particular person male were not listening. So, of course, with the her developing body made the template animal, which is a female. And years ago, I was also a member of PFLAG, Parents and Friends of Lesbians and Gays, where I received an education, a great background education in issues of sex, sexual orientation, and gender. And up until that point in time, I thought at least the question of sex was something that could be medically determined with a chromosome analysis, but now even that is sort of fuzzy in my mind. Since this is a topic now in the news, questions of gender and identification, I wonder if you could share with us, so we may all learn from your education and experience. Let's say it's 200 years from now and Star Trek The Next Generation has come true. How are we identifying people as far as gender and sex? Do you have any thoughts on that issue?
Well, honestly, in the true fashion of, you know, my education as a women's and gender studies major, my answer to that question would be however they want to be identified. We definitely, you know, the minute you walk into your first women's and gender studies class or race and gender studies class, and I encourage everyone, definitely if they can and have the time and the means to go over to their local community college and take an intro course in that, the first thing you will learn and the first thing they'll put up on the board is what is the difference between sex and gender. And I think that most people growing up, you know, kind of they were synonymous terms. What we have seen more recently with the inclusion of transgender individuals in that conversation is that it's really up to the individual, and there are really a lot more variations on that than we previously knew or previously talked about. So from a scientific point of view, gender really is a spectrum. So we also have, you know, on the, you know, gender versus sex kind of side of things, on the biological side, we also have people who are born as intersex. So even that is not a black and white situation. It's not one versus the other. So it really is a spectrum. And when you throw sexual orientation in there as well, which is generally divorced from your own personal identity of your own gender and your own biological sex, it really becomes a very complex system that only the individual can really label for themselves.
You know, that's very interesting because that is exactly the conclusion that I came to, at least in the area of whether you're a man or woman, you know, is a behavioral thing. Would you pretty much agree with that?
Yeah, generally.
Or does that even mean anything?
We're inventing language as well.
Yeah, or does it even mean anything? I mean, what is a man or what is a woman as far as behavior goes? Is it traditionally aligned with the sex we call male is man, that behavior?
Maybe. That's a really good question, too, and you actually just hit on the second thing they teach you in women's and gender studies classes, which is, you know, you put up on the board man and woman, and then you put up there all of the things that first come to your mind when you think about those categories. And we really try to talk about them and think about them as categories and putting individuals of all shapes and sizes, of all different perspectives into two categories. It's really hard to do. So when you look at the categories, it's often things like women cook and clean and take care of the children, and men are strong and unemotional, and it really actually limits your ability, in my perspective, and this is maybe not the perspective of everyone in my field, but to express your authentic self as a human instead of trying to fit into one of these predetermined categories.
Yeah. If you could say something to America at large about gender and sex, what would you say to them?
Well, I think the biggest thing that I would want to communicate is that the fight for equality is not over. So there's, I'm a millennial. So when I was in high school and college, there was a lot of talk about, we don't need to be working on these issues anymore or talking about these issues. What I would say is that we are just starting. We are just starting the conversation. We're coming out of an era, the Victorian era and the sort of 1950s kind of really stifling these conversations. I think that the best thing about this era, the best thing about, even the fact that I could go out and get a degree in this field, which really wasn't a thing before the 70s, is really amazing. And we need to keep that conversation going, create new language, and bring more people's experiences into the fold so we can have a better understanding of ourselves and others.
We've got about 20 more seconds. Anything you want to say to our listeners that you haven't already?
Well, I would just remind everyone that if they have any questions about what I said today or want to get involved, you can visit our website at secular.org or shoot me an email at sfrey, that's S-F-R-E-Y, at secular.org. And I'm looking forward to hearing from everyone.
Thank you very much, Sarah.
Thank you.
Thank you for tuning in to Atheist Talk. We'd love for you to join us again next Sunday, which hopefully be another interesting episode. I'm proud to be on the air with Minnesota Atheist, and I hope you've enjoyed the show. This show depends on the generous support of our members, our sponsors, our donors. Please consider supporting the show through a donation link at mnatheist.org. This has been Atheist Talk at AM 950 KTNF, the Progressive Voice of Minnesota. The podcast for this show will be on our radio page as soon as we are able. Have a great Sunday, and remember to stick around through a brief commercial break for American Atheist Viewpoint.